Hello everyone, I'm Julie Ober-Allen, and I also want to acknowledge my co-authors on this study, Daphne Watkins and Janelle Goodwill from the University of Michigan School of Social Work. Today I'm going to be talking about Black college men's perceptions of mental health and depression based on some of our findings from the Young Black Men Masculinities and Mental Health Study, which I'll be referring to as the YB Men Study throughout this presentation. We have nothing to disclose. So just to give you a little bit of background, young Black male college students face a unique set of stressors due to their social positioning in the United States, especially some of the negative stereotypes associated with young Black men that are not particularly consistent with expectations and norms on college campuses. In addition, on college campuses, young Black male students are often a gender minority within a racial minority due to the very small numbers of young black men that enroll in institutions of higher education. Qualitative studies have reported that young Black male college students experience considerable distress on a daily basis due to racial slights, hostility, unfair treatment, and threats to dignity and sense of self. For example, young Black male college students are often not preferred in group work because their counterparts may assume that they do not have the academic preparation to meaningfully contribute to their work. Young Black male college students have also reported that faculty are sometimes surprised when they excel academically and suspect that perhaps their achievements are not their own. Young Black male college students may also feel under pressure not to fulfill negative stereotypes associated with Black men or not to appear too white or too Black, which are some additional pressures that they may experience. And these are on top of the typical pressures that college students experience, which are considerable for any college students. However, young Black male college students are also less likely to take advantage of university psychological and medical support services when compared to men of other racial and ethnic groups and to women. They're less likely to enroll in interventions to reduce distress. And yet, when I did some research and reviewed the literature, I wasn't able to find a single evaluated study in the literature that was particularly tailored to addressing the unique needs and experiences of young Black men. I wasn't able to find any interventions that were designed for Black men, for men in this age group, or for, you know, designed specifically to be implemented on college campuses that were also culturally sensitive. So, in response to this, addressing this gap in services, my colleagues and I have been working on developing the YB Men Project. The YB Men Project was created to better understand and address the pressures and needs of young Black men, especially issues related to masculinity and mental health. If proven effective, it could become a model for reducing depression symptoms and promoting well-being among young Black male college students across the country. It could also provide further evidence that hard-to-reach populations, such as young Black men are often considered to be, can be effectively recruited and engaged in health promotion interventions when they are gender sensitive and culturally tailored to address their needs and experiences. So the YB Men Project, certainly the pilot project, was a 5-week interactive Facebook-based mental health education and social support program. It was created specifically for young Black men who are unlikely to discuss their mental health in a face-to-face setting, who have not been diagnosed with a mental health issue by a clinician, and who desire social support in a safe and non-threatening context. So as I had mentioned, this is a pilot project, and so the data that I'm presenting today is some of our preliminary work from the number one Jackson College and Jackson, Michigan study that we've done. It is part of a trajectory of work, and so we're really using some of our preliminary studies as a collective to inform future iterations. Right now, we're working on some studies at University of Michigan, Eastern Michigan University, and Washtenaw Community College. And then in the future, we're hoping to do some work in New York, Atlanta, and Detroit. So this is just a screenshot from our intervention, just to give you a sense of what it looks like. As I said, we did the pilot project during the academic year at Jackson College in 2014 to 2015. Facebook intervention group members were asked to join a private Facebook group, so it didn't actually show to their other Facebook friends, for 5 weeks. And in the Facebook group, we posted information and prompts from pop culture and social media, so song lyrics, photos, cartoons, videos that provided education on health and well-being, and that were also really meant as sort of discussion prompts. So we would strongly encourage the guys to actively participate, to post comments, to give feedback, sometimes to post some images and other things from popular media that they found relevant to the topics that we were discussing, and also to provide social support to each other electronically. So some of the topics we covered, we just sort of did an introduction to sort of engagement in the group and sort of start to develop relationships among the participants. We addressed black masculinity, mental health education, health and well-being, and plans for the future. So the pilot project was a non-equivalent group, comparison group design with pre-post tests and 1 month follow-up data to assess the effectiveness and feasibility of the YMUMEN intervention at reducing depression symptoms among 30 young black men. And you'll see we collected both surveys and qualitative interviews at three different time points. Time one was baseline, time two was immediately post-intervention, and time three was a 1 month follow-up. And the study that I'm discussing today is pulling data from our baseline as well as from the YBMN Facebook intervention. So these are the research questions for the study that I'm presenting today. How do black college men define and understand mental health and depression? How do black college men perceive race to contribute to experiences of and risk factors for depression? So this study today uses data from three different sources. We have a closed-ended survey that had a number of scales assessing depressive symptoms, including some that were sort of male-specific, items on masculinity, access to healthcare, use of healthcare, interactions between masculinity and depressive symptoms. We also had some open-ended, semi-structured, in-depth interviews with some interviewers that were matched on race and gender. They ranged in length from sort of 10 minutes to an hour, depending on the participant's interest in talking to us. and they were audio taped and transcribed for analysis. And then finally, we had the Facebook posts. Recruitment was snowball sampling. We had flyers, a lot of word of mouth. We took advantage of the extensive social networks of Jackson College's Office of Multicultural Affairs. And then we also actually had a lot of guys on their phones texting their friends, there's this cool study happening right now. And that's actually how we got a lot of our participants. So that was very effective. Just in case anybody's looking to recruit young men on college campuses, I highly recommend it. And then the incentive for baseline data collection was $15 cash. And data was collected in the fall of 2014. So I just want to give a little bit of background on the participants as well as Jackson College, just to provide some context for the study. So Jackson College is actually a former community college. They're just starting to do some bachelor programs. It's located in Jackson, Michigan, which is a small city about an hour and a half west of Detroit. The population of Jackson is about 20% African American. However, they have a large percentage of residents living below the poverty line. It's about twice what it is for the state of Michigan as a whole, so about 30% of residents. The main campus for Jackson College has about 4,800 students. Fewer than half are full-time. It's really a mix of sort of younger and older students. The population of Jackson College is 8% black, so it is a predominantly white institution. It is, however, a residential community, or it has a history of being a residential community college, which is rather unusual. Most community colleges tend to be oriented toward commuting students. And so for this reason, it actually attracts a lot of youth from the greater Detroit area. And then for the men who participated, they all were between 18 and 24 years of age, averaging about 19. 50% were employed in addition to attending college. None had been previously diagnosed with a mental health disorder, which was part of our eligibility criteria. However, 53% were at risk for depression. So in some of our survey work, they reported a number of indicators of depression, however, not at levels that would suggest that they were likely to meet the clinical diagnostic criteria. However, 17% reported recent thoughts of suicide and self-harm. 27% lacked a regular source of medical care. About a quarter had not seen a medical professional of any kind in the last year. So now I'm going to present some of our findings. On the next couple slides, you'll see a number of quotes, direct quotes from our interviews, as well as a bit of data from our surveys and from our Facebook group. So one of the questions we asked the men was, what does the term mental health mean to you? And we had as many different definitions as we had men participating in interviews. I mean, there was almost no consistency whatsoever. They range from anything that goes on inside your head to mental classification as normal, different, or up there with the truly crazy people, And actually, this quote is probably one of the definitions that it was actually most consistent with a more typical lay definition of mental health. We also had things such as, oh, stress, anger problems, some type of breakdown, a person who's autistic or has ADHD. So we really found no consistency whatsoever in the men's interpretations of this particular term. For depression, it was much more consistent. A lot of the guys talked about sadness, they talked about being overwhelmed. Our data did suggest a really interesting dichotomy in sort of what men identified as causes of depression. A large number of men, such as the guy on the left, that's not one of our participants, it's just a stock photo, said things like, I think different situations, like a parent died or someone loses a job, sad things. A lot of the guys talked about external issues that were outside of men's control, that were often the impetus for an experience of depression. However, we also sort of got sort of the whole other side of the realm, such as the guy on the right. You could put yourself through it, or you can just ignore it and think of the greater things in life. A number of the guys really described depression as something very controllable. It's very internal, it had nothing to do with external factors, and a man could either decide to be depressed or decide that he wouldn't be. And it was sort of this very interesting dichotomy. We didn't have many guys really talk about sort of a combination of both or someplace sort of more of a gray area in the middle. So a lot of the guys talked about sort of very standard, typical symptoms of depression, such as sort of the ones in the white on the list on the end, sadness, anxiety, worry, lack of motivation. And these are the things that you're often going to see in survey items that are sort of used to help identify people who have depression. Do you feel sad? Have you experienced it in the last 2 weeks? And so some of the quotes on the right suggest that, you know, when you're sad and when there's no out, my friends, they just didn't want to be bothered. They were very short-tempered. If you said slightly the wrong thing, they'll blow up in your face. We also found that a lot of men, both in the interviews and in the survey questions, indicated a number of signs of depression that are actually not typically used. Typical criteria for identifying depression. Some research refer to as sort of more male-oriented indicators of depression, such as anger, substance abuse, social withdrawal, and irritability. Finally, we asked our participants, do you think black men's experiences with depression are different than the experiences of women or men of, belonging to other racial and ethnic groups? And we had some really interesting responses. Roughly a third of the men indicated that they didn't see a difference. They didn't feel like race factored in at all, or gender. Another third of the participants started off by saying they really didn't feel race was a major differentiating factor, but then they would go on to sort of give us examples about how they did and differences that they did identify. And then sort of the final third of the groups were quite definitive that they did feel like black men's experiences with depression were different from the experiences of other men. And some of the reasons that they gave us were that they felt that the social and physical environments that black men are more likely to live in may put more stressors on them and put them at greater risk for depression. That black men's experiences with discrimination and marginalization, both currently as well as historic factors, factor into black men's experiences and thus make them different from the experiences of other men. Some of the men also suggested that they felt that black men's coping strategies were different than the experiences of other men, that they may be less likely to disclose concerns about depression, less likely to ask for help, less likely to acknowledge them to themselves. So, given that this study is really just a preliminary study and we're using it to improve some of the intervention work that we're doing in the future, implications for practice are really important. We've identified in the study that terminology is critical. I mean, if we use the term mental health and none of the guys actually agree with each other on what it means and they don't agree with us, then it's kind of worthless. So it's really important in intervention work either just to not use it or to really make sure that you take some time talking about it, figuring out what it means, making sure everybody's on the same page. In addition, with a lot of the sort of standard diagnostic tools that people use to identify men who might be at risk for depression, if you use the term mental health and it means different things, then it's not a very useful tool. In addition, I think it's really important to address the issue about the duality of depression. Given that men identified both sort of external and internal causes, I mean, that affects men's interpretations of locus control. So if you have men in an intervention and you're telling them that, oh, you know, you just need to go to a therapist and it's going to fix everything, well, if they identify things in their communities as the primary factors associated with depression, I mean, that advice is useless. And so it's just a really important thing to acknowledge. Finally, the study suggests that we need to expand indicators of depression to include some of the more male-oriented signs that some of these men identified and related to. Finally, in intervention work, sensitivity to the complex role of race and gender is very important for understanding and discussing young Black men's perceptions of mental health and depression. So I just wanted to show you guys some pictures. On the top is some of the guys that participated in intervention, and on the bottom is our research team. And here are our acknowledgments. Thank you very much.